Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station by downloading the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen live on demand. After producing Jason and John, George Ruggiero is back in his regular spot producing the program. You can follow him on Twitter at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Yo, it's Tom Thibodeau. I've already moved on to my next gig.
It is Tom Thibodeau funeral day, I suppose. Let's welcome to the program. He is, of course, Tim Murray. He's the host of VSiN's College Football, College Basketball Betting Podcast, the VSiN Betting Tailgate Show, airing Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. You can also see him on VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights. Download the VSiN Watch app on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Let the Danny Hurley to New York Knicks rumors begin, ladies and gentlemen.
All jokes aside, don't you think it starts with, like, Malone, right? Isn't that where everyone's head's going to turn first, whether or not it's sourced or not? I just feel like that's where everyone's head's going to turn.
I would think so. The Knicks fans in my life think they'll do the sensible thing and apparently hire Johnny Bryant, the assistant from the Cleveland Cavaliers, who was once upon a time with the Knicks. But come on, it's the New York Knicks. They're not going to do anything sensible.
Jay Wright coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jay Wright. Yeah, that kind of
means go to the Knicks. I will say, the Garden would never be more better dressed than to have Rick Pitino coaching St. John's and Jay Wright as the head coach of the Knicks. The suit games, mwah. I mean, it would be tremendous.
I always roll my eyes when Jay Wright gets bandied about for a college job. If you told me he picked up the phone from the Knicks, I'm not incredulous. I don't think he'd do it, but I think it is at least a phone call he'd entertain.
I mean, he's 63. All his guys are their best players, essentially.
He has a relationship, obviously, with Leon, and I mean, that's the other thing. Brunson's dad technically is on staff. Did he get fired today?
No. Come on now. I think you make the call. I don't know. I mean,
no, is that something? I don't know. Like,
I don't know if that's what he wants to do.
He seems pretty content. Like, you can always tell when the guys are on the studio shows and they're just itching to get back in. I do not get that vibe from Jay Wright.
I don't either. Because he didn't have to leave Villanova. He could have stayed there for 15 more years.
Yeah, I do think, though, he was in that category of...
He wasn't...
I don't love how this is going, but like, I think he handled it better. Like, I don't think he... I don't think he, like, burned down the buildings as he was going down, but I do think it... I don't think it's coincidence that he left when he did.
No, I don't think it is whatsoever. It was kind of that stretch of, you know, him, Deputy Dog Roy, and Coach K, right?
All Coach kind USA, of please. Also, don't well, Boeheim. I guess I don't. I never know how to categorize Boeheim in that because
Boeheim
kind of got.
Stay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Boeheim didn't really make the call.
No, yeah, he was more Jim. It's time to go.
Yeah, and by the way, it's gone great since, right?
A good friend of mine's on their staff, so I wish Syracuse nothing but the best. It's a big year. Let's just say that.
Oh, boy. That is the problem with having friends in coaching is when you know it's a big year, they know it's a big year, and everybody's kind of like, we really need to win.
Happy he made it through last year.
Yeah, if you can get through that. All right, let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. We'll talk about the Knicks decision at some point throughout the show, but I wanted to go through – I kind of want to grade some narratives with you, and – I think we've kind of caught on to a little thing that we can do where you hosting multiple programs on VSiN, a lot of times you're just looking at betting lines. And so you're not really focused on narratives. But obviously, as a consumer of sports, you have thoughts in your head too. So I kind of want to go through some of the narratives of the NBA Finals and let's give them a grade. Whether you know, we're grading the takes, if you will. So we'll do that. Also want to get into that Knicks firing and just kind of the landscape of where we are in the world of sports. We will get into ESPN's FPI rankings came out, and of course everyone is rolling their eyes thinking that somehow a computer is biased towards the SEC. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that one? You caught on to that one yet?
I did. I will say.
I mean, I guess the argument could be it's programmed by ESPN people, therefore it's biased. Would that be the logic?
My favorite was when people used to call out ESPN for SEC bias when they didn't have the rights to the SEC.
Yeah, that was
now
a good one.
At least they have the rights. I will say, well done by North Carolina fans yesterday chanting ACC as UNC beat Oklahoma to advance to the Super Regionals. Not a great day for the coaching takes from Destin when they announced to the world, you know, we got 13 of the 16 teams in the NCAA baseball tournament. Yeah, only four of them survived.
I will say this. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to preach the same message that I did. Remember on Thursday of the NCAA tournament, day one, it was not a banner day really for the SEC. I'm going to preach the same thing. They're going to have four teams that are favored in Super Regionals. If they get half the College World Series, that
they are not because Arkansas and Tennessee play each other.
Oh, that's right. So they're going to get
boom.
They could get three out of
lawyered.
Yes. Well, George is an Ole Miss grad.
Last night
was tough.
I do want to point out
a reminder.
If for a brief moment, more than a brief moment, if the mighty folks of Little Rock, Arkansas had won that game last night, I think it would have been a top five upset of all time. The stretch that they went through. Now, the mighty Trojans didn't make it there, and unfortunately, LSU got the win. They did not get the cover.
I mean, they were minus 3,000 last night.
They were 5.5 on the run line last night. Some moron took the five, laid the 5.5. Me. But that was
a
pretty
cool
story.
I swear, if that kid doesn't make that catch in center, you get it home.
Probably. But it was. I mean, the story. Look, I'm not going to pretend like I was, you know, following OVC baseball, but a team that was 8-16 in the Ohio Valley and then beat in succession, it was Rhode Island as a +250 dog, then they beat Dallas Baptist as a +850 dog, and then they beat LSU on Sunday night as a 14-1 underdog. It would have been all time, but LSU did, of course, prevail, and now, as you mentioned, they will probably ride into Omaha and take lots of Jell-O shots while there.
They will. That pizza bar, whatever that pizza bar is, they are always rooting for the Bayou Bengals to show up in Omaha. We'll get into the list. I want to discuss this story with Tim.
Rocco's.
I know. Yeah, Rocco's. Also the name of my dog. I adopted him. I didn't change his name, so it just came with that. But now I just have Rocco's Modern Life theme song stuck
in
my head.
I think VEASAN's doing some shows from Rocco's a couple weeks from now. I will not be there, but
that's good branding.
A couple of our shows will be there, yeah.
That's good branding.
68,000 was the amount of Jell-O shots they consumed in 2023, LSU fans.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have... It becomes a like pissing contest some rich person will call and say, here's $25,000.
Yep.
And like the calls in, like they don't ever actually go. Like I am, it's one of those things where it's obviously a huge business for Rocco's. And so like you don't want to feel, but it's like, I feel like for the purity of the contest, the idea is you got to go in and order them yourself.
Yeah, and it's for a good cause. I actually had the owner of Rocco's in studio last summer, and we talked about it. They give a dollar of every Jell-O shot, I think, to the food bank, which is pretty cool. So they cut some big checks. So it is for a good cause. But yeah, it's wild how things like that explode, where you go from like, yeah, this is cute, to being like, we got to beat the other college in the Jell-O shot challenge.
I mean, listen... You can roll your eyes all you want, but I will say this is where the SEC it just means more. Like it that's is. When it really
what,
became.
What the, institution could rival LSU? I don't know if
it's any one. Of them other than Vanderbilt. I mean, when Ole Miss goes there, Ole Miss sets the world on fire. Arkansas has got a great track record. Tennessee will definitely get involved
Tennessee for sure.
Will definitely get involved in a pissing contest. Like it's basically like every SEC school except Vandy.
Good old Vandy.
Yeah, like they're not about that life. They are very much above that. So I want to get into the story about the Illinois betting tax because I think it's fascinating. Before everyone starts rolling their eyes, like just keep in mind if this works for Illinois, there will be other state legislatures that will see this and go, "All right, how can we get in on that sweet payday?" So I want to discuss that. Also, John Oran of Puck has had some. Reporting on the expansion of the NCAA basketball tournament that was honestly quite depressing to read because he's someone that I don't feel like just he's not involved in the source off where he's clearly getting fed by one side. Like I think he plays it really well down the middle. So that was depressing to discover. We also had a stadium war moment in Chicago that I found fascinating. Anytime Jerry's Reinsdorf loses, I'm excited about that. So we'll do all that during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I thought first, let's go through some of the narratives, and let's grade them. And on the sense of, like, A is something that you think is, that's probably pretty likely. And that's something that you would find yourself in agreement with, the thesis statement, and you think it's well-crafted. And an F is, come on, this is clearly just, like... This is clickbait. This is whatever pejorative you want to use of, I think this is just horse S, and you're good. You're good with that. So I think first I wanted to start with this one because this is the one that's taking the internet, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. The NBA Finals built by Paul George.
I had not seen that one.
Okay, so... Here is the theory.
Well, the obvious one is that obviously the Thunder traded Paul George to the Clippers.
Yep.
And in return, they got SGA and
yep.
a plethora of other things. And the Pacers, once upon a time, had Paul
two
George.
Of the picks become Chet and Jalen Williams. Santa Clara, Jalen Williams.
Okay. I'm open to hearing this because. Obviously, Paul George was a Pacer and kind of came onto the scene. Was he late first round at a Fresno or early second? I can't remember.
I thought he was a first rounder. I thought he was around 13 or 14. You know,
was he that high?
You know, the fun fact is that Paul George had originally signed with Pepperdine, and then our
10th overall. I was off.
Our coach actually invented the Urban Meyer heart attack, stepping away. The NCAA-induced heart attack stepping away, and Paul was released from his
letter of intent.
What are we called? Yeah, letter LOI. Yeah, his LOI
and NLI, I believe.
national
letter of intent. Wasn't that right?
Right. And, I think we kept saying letter of intent. Or it got thrown off because it rhymed with like NIL, but it wasn't NIL.
I think it was NLI, right? National letter of intent.
Yeah. And we just left out the O in the acronym.
Sure.
Yeah. So we had that. So Paul was originally committed.
Who doesn't leave out the O? IHOP.
That's a great point. I thought he was like 14th. He was 10th overall.
He was 10th. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking of Jimmy Butler, who was, I think, late first round of the Bulls, right? Shouts to Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, I forgot. One of Paul's sisters played at Pepperdine as well. But I do remember when he played for Fresno, they played one night at Firestone Fieldhouse, and Mitch Kupchak was there. So that was the highlight of the day. So the idea with the Pacers is Paul gets traded for the picks that become Sabonis and
Oladipo.
Yeah, Victor Oladipo. They get traded to the Kings, and they largely become this core.
Okay. You know what? I like that one. I have not heard that one.
And, hot on the internet.
I'll give it an A-. I like that one.
All right, so I should openly admit, I do not believe in grade inflation. One of the things that drove me the most insane about going to college in California was the kids that had come from like self-esteem schools that's like, I went to class, I did the work, I showed up, I should have gotten an A. I was like, no, you should have gotten a C. Like, you did the bare minimum. I'm giving this a B. I think it definitely applies. If you want to make the case this applies to the Thunder, I'm with you. I just think when you start doing the 6 degrees of separation of you can trace this all back to Paul George, that's when I think it starts to get a little wishy-washy, because you had to make other decisions. You had to make other trades, and other things had to come to pass. I think it's fun to kind of, on the internet, rip on Paul George.
Oh, yeah, it is. Playoff P.
But
has he started podcasting again?
I think he did. I think when they mailed it in.
Okay.
I think that
remember kind of, he took off.
Right. He took off after like they weren't playing quality basketball. I think once they started openly tanking, I felt like that opened the door for him to get back into the podcast game. But I will be fully transparent. This does not come from a place of jealousy. This doesn't come from a place of superiority. I've never gotten into the whole player podcast movement. There's too many of them. I also think that they're largely fairly boring. They're great. I will say this. I think they're great for the internet, because I think a lot of times what happens is they have their compadres in, and there's usually good stories, and those wind up being good like clips.
Just tell me you don't like the New Heights podcast without telling me you don't like the New Heights podcast.
I do not care for the New Heights podcast.
I for one am shocked. You seem like the type of guy that
I like
is,
Jason.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other problem is, like, I like Jason. I also think we've gotten a buffet of Jason.
We've got a lot of Jason Kelce in our lives. All right, back to this this storyline. The reason I like it, one, because I hadn't really seen it come across my desk. Secondly, it's not one of those ones where it's like, well, they got this pick, and then they flipped it for this pick. It's pretty clear, right? The Thunder traded Oladipo and Sabonis, and
the Pacers traded Oladipo and Sabonis.
Well, no, the Thunder traded those pieces to Indiana to get Paul George, right? And then Sabonis.
Did they?
Yeah. Paul George was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis gets traded for Tyrese Haliburton eventually.
Okay.
That's why I like it.
You actually now changed my opinion.
Okay. So I thought you were understanding that. Yeah. So the reason I like this is because the clear one.
When I saw the Charlie Day map, they didn't make it that clear. That kind of makes it a little different. I agree with you now. You've changed my mind.
Yeah, so I give it an A- because SGA for Paul George is obvious, and then you get into the other picks. I'm not even getting into that. The fact that the best player on the best team in the NBA Finals was traded directly for Paul George is one, and then secondly, the Thunder shipped off Oladipo and Sabonis for Paul George, and Sabonis, they traded, the Pacers did, eventually for Tyrese Haliburton. who is the best player on the Pacers, even though he is not the Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
That was kind of funny when he was expecting to hear his name called.
And, have you ever had a moment like that in your life where you thought you were going to get an award or something and it was like, wait, what?
I've never had the moment where like I was like clear path people, like, you know, this is mine. There have been awards that I thought like it's obviously different when you like have finalists or whatnot, but like when you, no one really knows who's in the running, there have been a couple that I thought I had as good of a chance as anyone is getting, but I've never had the moment where like the Bud Light commercial when you and I were like in elementary school, the dog show, Larry, like that ugly like mutt dog, Larry, and then he puts the six pack of Bud Light, Larry, and as the judges are walking by, and then they announce, and the winner is Mort, and then Mort had like the entire like 12 pack in the cooler, he had it all on ice, and like I've never had that moment, but I've definitely had some where like you were expecting to hear your name called.
I've only had one in my life, and I remember it was eighth grade, and it was the student athlete award for our eighth grade class. We had, as a school, one sport that we played.
Basketball.
And it was basketball. And shockingly, I was the best player on the basketball team, and I wasn't a terrible student. I wasn't a great student, I'll be honest, but I was good enough, you know, like honor roll. And I remember my buddy leads over to me. He's like, hey, man. Congrats. I was like, oh, appreciate that. And then they're like, Michael Bargy. I'm like, wait, what? He didn't even make the team. I was like, how is he the student athlete?
So
the worst one was the girl who didn't get it was a straight A student and ended up playing like high D1 basketball and was like an all Met player in the DC area for like 4 years.
Did Michael Bargy have a better last name than you did?
I mean, Bargy is kind of a cool name.
No, but I'm talking about amongst the school, did he have a better last name?
He did not. No, and that's the thing. He was like a newer kid. He like came in like sixth grade. He wasn't one. I was there since kindergarten.
Did he win like field day?
No. I don't know what the hell was going on. He was like an okay baseball player, but we didn't have a baseball team. He didn't even make the main
team. This is what's never made sense to me at schools like that, where was he better at gym class?
I don't know.
What's never made sense to me, it's like we've all had the schools where you only have like one sport at that point. And if you're not in that one sport, I've never understood. How do they identify who the best?
He was on the B team.
But like, how do we identify who's the best athlete? Like, it's never made sense to me. Like, if you only have one team, that's the one that counts.
Well, if I was like some slouch, like C student, I would have been. But I was, you know, once again, I was okay. I wasn't brilliant, but I was okay, you know? Solid B student.
Yeah,
but yes, that was the
that's
one.
That's tough.
That was the one.
That's
that,
a tough one. Yeah. But also,
was that a
true friend that leaned over and was like, "Hey, congrats"?
Yeah, it was like a buddy of mine. It was
like a real buddy.
Is that like when
I are on opposite sides and I congratulate your winner, you know, in the first quarter?
No, it was because we were alphabetical there. Trevor Michaels was sitting next to me and, you know, like not a great bud, but we were always friendly.
The kid that sits next to you in chapel.
Yeah.
And your lockers are always, you become
nice
friends
kid.
by last names because you're just, your lockers are next to each other. Any like school things, you're always next to each other. Yeah.
Good guy. But yeah, there was another time where I had like, I think I had my like two best games of my junior year and it was in a tournament and I didn't make all tournament. And I was like, wait, what the hell happened? I was like, I was pretty sure I was going to get all tournament here, but you know,
nothing
compared to Tyrese Halliburton, leading the Pacers, I think, in every statistical category except points.
Well,
and
my
he was
thing
second
is,
in points.
Like, I think Pascal's a very good player, but like
he was great in game six.
Right.
Like,
my whole thing
awesome.
Was like that was like the ultimate did the media only watch game six?
Yeah, that was and not that I really care.
Who was the only guy? Who was the only starter that was in double figures in Game Five? Was it Pascal?
Maybe, I don't know.
Like, did we irrationally? Well, that was the other thing. How many New York media were voting? I don't think this got enough play, because right, isn't it the media, the credentialed media of the series, right?
Yeah, I know.
And I can see where New York media was like, we're going to stick it to Halliburton here.
Let me see if I can find the voting real quick. They put it up on social media, so here it is. Let's see. There's, according to this, only one New York media. It was a guy from Newsday, and he picked Pascal Siakam. Now, in defense, the Indianapolis Star guy voted for Pascal Siakam as well.
Yeah, but what if that guy just hates Greg Doyle?
Mm. Oh, to like stick it to Greg Doyle?
Yeah.
Oh, now we're going deep. Now I've got tinfoil hats on. Like,
I'm willing to bet Greg Doyle's not the most popular guy at the Indy Star.
I think that's a strong assumption.
But like, I don't know. Like, I just don't see how.
You know, Bontemps, I was hoping that, like, I don't know if you listened to that podcast.
The Win Hoops Wars. Collective?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's and another show I consume in clips.
I think they do
and
a
I love
good
Wendy.
Job.
I'm a Wendy guy.
I'm pro Wendy.
I'm a huge Wendy guy.
And I like McMahon, too. I think he's good. Bontemps, you know, he worked at the Washington Post, so I should give him a tip of the cap. But of the three, he would be power rated the least of the three.
Yeah, but I think he serves an important role. Like, sometimes you got to kind of have the contrarian in there, and I think, like, he mixes it up.
But I'm surprised that the other two didn't bust his chops that he voted for Siakam. So the five people who voted for Siakam were Bontemps, the dude from the Indy Star, Katie George, who was she doing sidelines for ESPN Radio?
That would make sense, because TNT had the broadcast.
Right, so, yeah, it says ESPN Radio. So Katie George, Fred Katz of The Athletic, and the dude from the news.
But Fred's a New York guy.
Yeah?
He's the Knicks beat writer.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the Knicks athletic writer.
Oh, okay. So we did have... Okay. And then is Joe Vardon the Pacers? I thought he was national. He's
Joe,
the athletic
as well. Joe writes for
the
Athletic.
I
know. Like, he wrote it for the Cavs forever.
Yeah, I was certainly surprised. I remember last year I had a bet on Jaylen Brown to win Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and I was sweating that puppy out. I was like, oh man, who's it gonna be? Because like the live odds were going nuts in game four, because it was like, I don't know if you remember game four, I want to say the Celtics kind of pulled away, and then
they won
Tatum,
I think they pulled away in overtime, and then it was kind of like the game
Tatum and Brown started like just stat piling.
It was like game six of the most interesting of game, or I'm sorry, game five of the finals last year, the real finals, was Jaylen Brown and Tatum racing like two F1 teammates trying to get the checkered flag. Like,
that's
it was
right.
Like,
okay,
the,
now I'm,
but
I'm,
I think
I'm,
they kind of yeah. did that in game four too.
No, game four was down to the wire, 105-102s.
That one's overtime, right?
No, regulation. I think what we're mixing up is,
was it game three that went to OT?
Yeah, all of them are close.
So I did look it up. Pascal was the only, Pacer starter that was in double figures in game one. I mean, I guess this would be the argument, is that Pascal led the team in points, but Halliburton led in rebounds.
And assists.
And assists.
And steals. And stocks.
Yuck. Hasseltine and I are both on... God, we hate that. He had the better game score on average. I don't know.
I'll just say this.
It comes across as anti-Pascal, and I'm not, but it's just like, that just felt like getting cute. That is the type of move where that's giving Karl Malone the MVP because you're sick of giving it to Jordan.
Sure. And like Tyrese
but we're not there yet. Like, it's not right. Like Halliburton's gotten...
He hit the shot of the series. Granted, it was in game one, but he hit the shot, right? I mean, that series is completely different if he doesn't make that
jump. I guess I look at it differently. I've now resigned myself in seven-game series with relatively competitive teams. I think there's two. I kind of look at it like baseball. Like, each team's going to get a couple of games here, and then it's going to get decided by those middle three. That was a significant swing, and everyone's like, well, at least if you're going to lose one like that, lose it in game one.
No.
I'm like, yeah, I just don't look at it that way. I look at it like, man, that's like one of those games that you are going to look back on.
I think if the Knicks win game one, we're at minimum playing last night, and I think the Knicks win the series. I really do. And also, once again, I I don't care. I didn't have a horse in the race. Siakam was great. But, like, Tyrese Haliburton essentially threw a perfect game in game four. After the loss, he comes out. He has 32, 15, and 12, four steals, and no turnovers as a point guard.
There was some guy on Twitter that mapped it out like a football, like a quarterback throw chart. Like, he was like 70 of 77 for like 444, seven touchdowns. Like, it was insane to look at. It was hilarious.
I'll be honest, dude. Like, I didn't even watch the end of the game because it was already all she wrote. And I'm like, whatever. So when I was doing my prep for my Sunday show, I'm like, wait, Siakam won MVP?
Oh, no. I mean, like, it is one of those ones. Like, if you turned it off, like, you missed an unbelievable clip. But I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
All right. So you've convinced me. I thought it was good for the Thunder, but you're right. When you actually factor in the Thunder aspect of trading for Paul George, that makes it better. Okay. The Thunder will roll. Okay, because here's the thing.
I hate that it is just like my, so
exactly.
Easy with
so
that song.
Because we're doing, you and I feel like would love to hear, watch out for the Pacers. They're hot. They're hot. But what is scaring me is everyone is doing, my eyes tell me that the Thunder are going to roll. But I have also watched enough sports to know, man, when you get the overwhelming consensus, like, it just isn't that close. I guess the one key difference, though, is Vegas is telling us this is not close.
Correct. And they told us that in 2020 when the Heat played the Lakers, and we weren't full in on the Jimmy Butler.
You know, Jimmy's really good in the postseason.
Playoff Hemi.
But we did that 2 years ago when it was Heat and Nuggets, and that's when I was adamant, the Nuggets are going to smash. I'm conflicted here because I respect the hell out of this Pacers team, and I think they I don't know if they're getting the proper credit they deserve, but also there was a lot of Thunder bashing.
We're like, ugh. They could barely beat the Nuggets.
I'm like, yeah, because they have the best player on planet Earth. And, oh, by the way, you're allowed to go seven games. It's in the rules. And when they played said game seven, they won very easily.
And I can also make the comment, like, how you and I both believe, despite the fact that my Pacers bet cashed, I think if that ball hits the rim and doesn't go in, you could talk me into a universe where the Knicks win that thing in five. And the same thing, I think the same thing could have been true. In game one, if Daigneault doesn't have the absolute brain farts that he did, where Jokic isn't on the floor, he fouls, allows him to get back on the floor, they hit two free throws, then they turn around and the Thunder miss two, and then you allow a player to make a great play. Like, if they just hold on in game one, I think that's a very different series because they absolutely curb stomped them in game two. Like, they get the split in Denver, then we're talking about a 3-1 series. Like, that's just very different. They would have won in five.
So yeah, I
get we can do this, but like, this was also part of my problem with the Knicks the whole time. If you go back and you really watch that Detroit series, they were lucky to get out of the Detroit series. Now, they deserve credit for making, like, I'm a big believer of what do you do when it's money time? And they made the plays and Detroit didn't. But, like, there were at least three games that they could have flipped. They almost don't get out of that. They have the massive comebacks against the Celtics, but, like, I honestly thought a lot of that was the Celtics just kind of brain farting and not closing out a game.
And also shooting 25% from three combined.
And continuing to shoot. Yeah. And continuing
they were,
to shoot
25 of 100 from three in the first two games?
First two games.
Yeah.
Well, when you cut it down from 25, you cut it down by 25 threes. No,
and you're just firing threes. Yeah. Like you're up 15. You're like, whoops, 17 on the shot clock. Let it rain.
Yeah, and you had guys that could actually get to the basket, and we're now starting to see like one of the deficiencies is they did not put enough pressure on Towns to play defense.
So it's funny because I did make a small bet on Thunder minus 2.5 games, which for those not familiar with that type of betting, if the Thunder win in four or five games, I win my bet. If the Thunder win in six or seven, I lose. If the Pacers win, I lose. But it was not a bet that I was ultra confident in. I was much more confident in the Celtics minus 2.5 games against the Knicks, which obviously did not cash. But I wouldn't be surprised. I said this last night on VSiN, and I'm curious your thoughts. We just talked about it. Celtics, Pacers last year in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
Look at those scores.
It's like 4-1 possession games.
Yeah. But the Celtics.
LeBron would call that the most competitive sweep of all time.
I knew you were gonna go that route. They lost in overtime. They lost by double digits, okay. Then they lost by 3-3 in the two games in Indianapolis. I wouldn't be surprised if that's this NBA Finals, where the Pacers are competitive, but the Thunder are so deep, so good defensively. I have a hard time envisioning them winning more than two games.
Okay, so here's the one thing. I've mentioned this to Eric. I can't remember if I've mentioned it to you. I have been a little surprised that in a league where when somebody finds something that works, a lot of teams try to take the same approach. I'm not saying the Grizzlies had cracked the formula, but the Grizzlies, who could not have looked worse in the game one against the Thunder, and then they came back in game two and really struggled throughout the first half, they made an adjustment in the second half, and the final score was what it was, but it was at least a more watchable competitive game. And then the Grizzlies came out, and until John Morant got hurt, they looked like they were going to roll. The Grizzlies' key adjustment was, if we let them get set and play defense, we're just not going to score. It's going to be very difficult. And so what the Grizzlies started doing was, instead of best shot, they came down and looked for first shot. And that allowed the Thunder to not get set. It also gave the Grizzlies an opportunity for some more second chance looks, because the, you know, guys aren't marking their defender, you know, or marking the guy that they're, and so it allowed for there to be more space. If you tell me the Pacers try that, I'd be open to that idea.
I also I wonder too, because there was a lot of pushback during that Denver series of, this team, huh? Oh yeah, this is your great team, huh? Nerds, because they're so good analytically. I mean, if they take care of business in, let's say, five games, like it or not, man, this team's going to be, historically speaking, one of the best teams in the history of the NBA.
I mean, I think what if they
they're
did it,
80-19 right now.
And on top of that, they are 12-4, and three of those losses came in against, as we mentioned, the guy that's the best player on the planet.
12-5.
I thought they lost three to the Thunder.
Oh,
They swept the Grizzlies. They lost three to the Nuggies, and then they lost one.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. So I did my math wrong. So yeah, they're 80-18 right now. I mean, there's a chance this is a 84-19 team.
I mean, very much so.
Whew.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's take a look at ESPN's FPI rankings, which have been released. We'll discuss how a computer is even buying into SEC bias. We'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
ESPN. Jeffrey Wright and Tim Murray with you here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Over at ESPN.com, they have updated in time for the 2025 season the FPI power ranking. So the Football Power Index, this is not a straw poll of ESPN affiliated people. This is literally a power rating and a computer system designed to predict. I mean, they're predictive metrics, I guess is what I should say. Okay, Tim, number one, as we head into the 2025 season, according to ESPN FPI, with a projected wins of 10.4, tied for the highest mark, an 83.9% chance of making the playoff, and a 22.2% chance of winning the national title, the Texas Longhorns.
I don't think this is crazy. What I'm doing right now is I'm comparing FPI to SP Plus.
Okay.
And what they spit out. So SP Plus.
Also an ESPN branded metric.
Correct, but that is mainly
it's Bill Conley's
Conley, his concoction there. And I would subscribe to SP Plus. I think it has a better track record than FPI. But SP Plus has Texas at fifth, and their average wins at 9.6. So SP Plus a little lower on Texas than FPI would be, and a pretty decent discrepancy between projected wins of 10.4 and 9.6 for Texas. And I would say, just based off of like the betting market, SP Plus is much more in line with the betting market, which is at 9.5 juiced over for Texas's wins. So if you are of the belief in FPI, then you would go over pretty significantly because they have it at 10.4.
Number two, the Georgia Bulldogs at a power rating of 26.6, an average of 10.1 wins, a 78.6% chance of making the playoff, a 17.5% chance of winning the title. Number three, the Ohio State Buckeyes with a power rating of 23.8, projected wins tied with Texas at 10.4, a 70.6% chance of making the playoff, an 11.6% chance of winning a title. Alabama comes in at 4, Penn State at 5, Oregon at 6, Clemson at 7, Miami at 8, Notre Dame at 9, the Tennessee Vols at 10, teams of local interest, A&M comes in at 11, LSU at 12, Ole Miss at 13, Auburn at 14. Then our first Big 12 team comes in at 20 with the Kansas State Wildcats. Okay, so continuing your exercise, mm-hmm. How does the top 20 compare to SP Plus?
So I did the top 10, And I would say the FPI is highest on Miami if you compare it to SP Plus. SP Plus had Miami at 12, and FPI has Miami at 8. And then teams that SP Plus is higher on than FPI, they had Notre Dame, SP Plus did at 6, and FPI has Notre Dame at 9. And SP Plus is higher on Bama at 2 compared to 4, and Penn State at 3 compared to 5.
All right, so 2 in SP Plus, 2, 4, 5, 9, 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 are inside the top 20 with from the SEC. Missouri and Auburn round out the top 25. So I feel like the number of teams from each league are reflective, correct? I don't feel like there's
Yeah, there's nothing too crazy, I would say, looking at FPI. SP Plus is much higher on Michigan. They have them at 10, and FPI has them at 15. But yeah, the teams that are in there aren't that shocking. There's a lot of crossover. There's no team that is way down in SP Plus and in the top 20 of FPI. It's just kind of jumbling in there. And, you know, the tweaks in the top 10 and the top 5 are noticeable. You know, FPI is 11 on Texas A&M. They're 15th in SP Plus. Florida is 19th in FPI. They're 14th in SP Plus. And it's worth noting, SP Plus is very big into like returning production.
Yes,
that is a huge component of SP Plus. Not the only one, but it is a big component. And Clemson is number one in the country in returning production. And you know, a couple other teams are pretty high on there. But you know, I think at the end of the day, if you look at the betting board in Vegas for the futures odds and these two, you're going to see a lot of crossover. Like, nothing's too crazy here. I think the one that is kind of noticeable to me, because they play week one, well, it's twofold. You've got Texas and Ohio State playing, obviously, in week one. SP Plus has Ohio State coming in at number one and Texas at 5. And the point spread is Ohio State -3 for that opener in Columbus. And then you've got Notre Dame Miami week one. SP Plus has Notre Dame 6, Miami 12. FPI has Miami 8 and Notre Dame 9, but Notre Dame is a road favorite in that game. So if you are a subscriber to the FPI, you would think that Miami is a pretty darn good bet in week one against Notre Dame, because they have their numbers better than Notre Dame and they're an underdog at home.
Okay, so I was thinking about it in this fashion, because you and I have talked about how there's a lot of, outside of really Clemson, of the teams that are expected to contend for playoff spots, it's a lot of new quarterback play. And I guess Penn State with Drew Aller as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Which teams right now are you confident that, barring just like the horrific, catastrophic injury luck, which teams are you confident in saying they're going to be in the playoff? They'll be one of the 12 teams.
Ohio State.
So I was trying to look at Ohio State's schedule. So obviously the Texas game doesn't count in terms of the Big Ten standings, but it is kind of a swing game. If you don't lose that, then, or if you don't win that, I feel like you start getting into this weird territory where I don't know if you'll necessarily be penalized with it, but I think you're going to wind up in the same spot that a lot of those SEC teams are, which is you can lose one more game, but you better not lose that third game.
Yeah, and look, you see Ohio State, right? They have Penn State coming to the Shoe. They don't play Oregon. They obviously wrap up the season at Michigan, which you would think they should win, but that's on the road, and they lost at home last year as a, I don't know what, even what the point spread was. It was double like, digits. And it was huge.
I think it was 20.
Yeah, I thought it was 20. You know, the thing about Ohio State, and I say that with confidence that they're going to take care of business, but they had the most draft picks of any team in college football. They're 92nd, according to SP Plus, in returning production. They've got an unproven quarterback. And they've got two new coordinators. Like, they lost two really good coordinators. They lost Chip Kelly, who goes to the Raiders.
And by the way, I think is a better offensive coordinator than Ryan Day.
I wouldn't disagree. They promote from within, and a guy in Hartline who is an amazing recruiter. How is he as a play caller? TBD. And then,
are we sure Day's not taking play calling back?
I mean, I'm sure there's a collaboration there. And then you lose Jim Knowles, who, by all accounts, is kind of a strange bird, but he's a really good defensive coordinator. He goes to Penn State, and you bring in, you know, the mad scientist, Matt Patricia. So, while Ohio State, according to SB Plus, is the best team in the country coming into this year, and they do have probably the most talented, would you say they have the most talented player in college football, pound for pound, in Jeremiah Smith?
I think it's him or it's either him or Williams.
Ryan Williams, Alabama wide receiver. Yeah, I mean, they're both.
But awesome. I think if you're making me, if the Giants can draft one, I think I'm probably taking Jeremiah.
So I say with confidence that Ohio State's going to get there, but, you know, they could lose week one. It's a toss-up against Texas. And they, you know, they could lose to Penn State, even though.
Well, like, the Illinois game is a weird game. It's at Illinois.
Yeah. They just have so much talent on the roster. And, like, you could make an argument that they've got the best offensive player in the country in Jeremiah Smith and the best defensive player in the country in Caleb Downs.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, so we'll say that's one.
I think Texas, from the talent and everything that's been said about Arch Manning, and I don't know why I'm, and maybe it's a contrarian point of view. I'm just not, and I'm happy to be wrong, but I'm just not like all in on Arch Manning is going to be, you know, Trevor Lawrence immediately.
No, but I'm also in the category of Trevor. Trevor just threw the ball to the outside and had like ridiculous first round receivers, and they went up and got it too.
And that's what Texas has, right? They've got insane talent.
I think the bigger argument for me for Texas is, yes, they have all the money, but they also are replacing a lot. I trust that Sark's going to be able to get production out of Arch. Like, Sark and Kiffin are two guys that when you look at it, even when they've had average quarterbacks, they've gotten pretty good quarterback play. Like, and so now you're giving him, also you're giving him a better runner than he's ever had. But I do think that this is fair to say. In his two starts that we saw last year, he was fairly pedestrian.
Yes.
Now, they were two games that I don't think Texas took all that seriously. And I think last year, to a certain degree, we kind of saw teams kind of load managing a little bit, like in games that they knew they were going to win. I think that's why we saw like a lot of the teams that we're used to seeing covering like big numbers, they didn't do it all that frequently. But like I still think for me it comes down to Texas's schedule really sets up pretty favorably. I feel like they're going to be one. In the same way that you were talking with Bruce Feldman last week or 2 weeks ago on your podcast of are we sleeping on Miami because Carson Beck is still pretty good when you start thinking about other quarterbacks, I do wonder if Ty Simpson is like game manager plus, I think they've actually improved across the board.
I'll say this about Alabama. Their schedule is brutal. That said, now you could put on the tinfoil hat if you want. They were the biggest, in air quotes, jobbed team last year when it came to the committee. I think they'll get the benefit of the doubt this year. And I think Alabama, it's funny how, you know, we see all these coaching rankings that come out. Like, Kalen DeBoer was universally, top five after he led Washington to the title game?
Yeah.
He didn't forget how to coach, man. Like, I get it, and we ran a promo before the start of the show, and I'll take my jabs at DeBoer when you sound like an idiot because you lost to Vanderbilt as a 24-point favorite and you lost to Oklahoma as a 2-touchdown favorite. That said, the roster's loaded. And Kalen DeBoer gets back his right-hand man in Ryan Grubb as his offensive coordinator, And these guys didn't forget how to coach quarterbacks. So whether it's Ty Simpson or a guy in Keelan Russell, who by some recruiting metrics was better than Bryce Underwood, or is better than Bryce Underwood, the all-world prospect who got a bajillion dollars from Michigan. Like, okay, Ty Simpson's not great. Maybe we bring in Keelan Russell at some point. You go to Georgia, you take on Tennessee as you always do, third weekend of October. You go to South Carolina, you host LSU, you finish up at Auburn, a team that you and I think are pretty high on this year. The schedule's really tough. The non-con could have been tougher because Florida State is down and Wisconsin is not very good either. I think Alabama has a chance to win the national title. And if you're looking at a, air quotes, long shot, like 15 to 18 to 1 to win the title, I think your two options are Alabama, who I think could do it, or Clemson, because they're probably going to get a bye and you're going to be set up with a decent spot to hedge off of a bet. But I think Alabama's going to be really good. And I think as quiet as Alabama can be, and maybe it's louder in your neck of the woods.
No, it's really not.
I think Alabama's getting slept on.
I think there's a lot of people wondering, like, were they sold a bag of goods with DeBoer?
But I would say this to defend him. Now, we've seen players and coaches go to make the climb all the way to the mountaintop, and then when they get to the mountaintop, it does not come home. But, like, the proof has been in the pudding, whether it was as Indiana's offensive coordinator with Penix, or with Fresno State with my man Jake Haner.
Our
or
man.
With Penix again in Washington. Like, what he did that year at Washington, they won a ton of close games, which is always, you're a bit skeptical of that. But the fact that they beat Oregon twice.
Three out of four, I think.
Well, and I'm just talking about the year they made it to the national championship, right? That was really impressive to me that they were able to make that run to the national championship. So I think Alabama, I think you're onto something there. Like, I don't know about Ty Simpson, but if he hits, they've got some really good talent out there. And you mentioned one of them, Ryan Williams. He's a superstar.
All right, and then to wrap up, what team are you not seeing it with?
I'm always a bit skeptical with Penn State, and I'm not a huge Drew Aller guy. So I wouldn't say that I am not seeing it in the sense that they won't make it to the playoff, because their non-conference schedule is laughably easy.
Nevada, FIU, Nova.
Ooh, shaking in our boots. But they play 9 conference games.
Their conference will be Oregon at home.
Whiteout, prime time.
At UCLA, Northwestern at home, at Iowa.
That'd be challenging.
Bye week at Ohio State, Indiana, at Michigan State, Nebraska, and they close with Rutgers.
So I would just say
I think they play the two best teams.
They do, and they play one on the road in Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Oregon at home is going to be...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.